Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
It was in December of 1820, the Pilgrim Bicentennial, that Daniel Webster, one of the great founding fathers of our nation, was at Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts, and said the following: "We have come to this rock to record here our homage for our Pilgrim fathers, our sympathy in their sufferings, our gratitude for their labors, our admiration of their virtues, our veneration for their piety, and our attachment to those principles of civil and religious liberty, which they encountered the dangers of the ocean, the storms of heaven, the violence of savages, disease, exile, and famine, to enjoy and to establish. And we would leave here also for the generations which are rising up rapidly to fill our places, some proof that we have endeavored to transmit the great inheritance unimpaired, that in our estimate of public principles and private virtue, in our veneration of religion and piety, in our devotion to civil and religion's liberty, and our regard for whatever advances human knowledge or improves human happiness, we are not altogether unworthy of our origin." That was Daniel Webster, December 22nd, 1820, there in Plymouth, Massachusetts, the location, of course, of Plymouth Rock. And as we are on the eve of Thanksgiving, yesterday we spent the entire show going through really a lot of our legacy from back in the 1620s, ending up in 1789 with the first Thanksgiving proclamation by George Washington. But in 1620, we were looking at the Mayflower Compact yesterday. We looked at the City Upon a Hill, which was a part of a sermon by John Winthrop in 1630. And our rich heritage, which we're losing rapidly, isn't taught effectively or accurately or honestly. And recently, within the last couple of weeks, I was tuning into Glenn Beck, and all of a sudden he's on location at this place called Plot Number One. You know, and he's a history buff and very passionate about the true history of our nation, which I deeply appreciate. And from Plot Number One in Plymouth, Massachusetts, I'm like, what is this? And then I realized, and it didn't even cross my mind until I heard it, that we're coming up on the quadricentennial, 400 years of the landing at Plymouth Rock, 1620 to next year, 2020. And he was talking to a gentleman by the name of Jerry Pereira, who's with 400.org, which is a website you need to get to today, no later than tonight, and check it out, especially on the eve of Thanksgiving, but the quadricentennial coming up next year. So I emailed, fired off an email right when I was listening to the show, and by God's grace, we were able to get Jerry lined up today. And so Jerry Pereira joins us by phone here just 2 days before Thanksgiving. Jerry, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Well, great. It's great to be with you, Steve. And just listening to your recap of what you've been doing the last couple days on your show is very encouraging to hear from right here, from even from Plot One, that this legacy is living on in the hearts of people.
Yeah, and there are not that many of us, as you know, Jerry, unfortunately, that are really paying attention to this legacy and accurately transmitting it. Of course, we have to learn it first, which is pretty much my number one reason for wanting to have you on the show today. And thank you so much for making the time to be with us, and also to share your own personal story. And how did you all end up at Plot Number One? What is Plot Number One? We'll talk about Thanksgiving before we finish up our hour show today, and also talking about I want to talk about what happened in Jamestown in 1607 versus what happened in Plymouth in 1620, and why this is so important to all of us. We especially are in a time of great dissension in this country, where unity seems like a old-fashioned concept and not even possible. But we do have this origin story that every American shares, and so I want to kind of unpack all of that over the course of the show today. But I'd love to start, Jerry, with just you and your wife, and how did you all end up in Plymouth and in Plot Number One, and also being a part of the 400th.org, and some great materials that I downloaded the other day, which are just awesome for Thanksgiving. But how did you guys end up there?
Well, you know, it's just been a process. We were just living life like normal folks do, and we were engaged in history here in New England because our children were growing up in a school that really focused on our heritage, on American heritage, and not only our heritage, but our Christian heritage. So we were we were slowly getting engaged into understanding ourselves. I am a Sri Lankan by birth. I grew up in Southern California and didn't really come to the East Coast till college in the 70s. And I knew nothing of the Pilgrim. I'd heard of the Pilgrim story, but really didn't understand it to the level I do today. But as a Sri Lankan coming and growing up in America, you know, my father told me, you know, we were going to a land of freedom. As a seven-year-old boy, you try to process that, and you really you can't process it as a seven-year-old boy. You have to live life and go through it through observation and just living in this land of freedom to start gaining an understanding and an appreciation for it.
And so you were seven when you came over from Sri Lanka and growing up in America, when did you start to kind of come into the understanding that this nation had this rich history and especially a rich Christian history?
Well, I would have to say, after really getting married and understanding what family was all about, and you really start, you don't take the freedoms you have for granted. Now, prior to that, I was traveling quite a bit, and as a Sri Lankan, I traveled extensively, and I had always experienced something different when the plane landed and my feet got back on American soil. I couldn't describe it. I didn't know what it was. But after raising a family and understanding the principles, and of course my wife is a very patriotic American, I'm starting to look deeper into what is this story about? Why do Americans have this deep sense of liberty ingrained in their society? So I just started asking some simple questions and looking into it, and I encountered a gentleman here in Plymouth that took me aside and just poured into me, some basic concepts. And I so much appreciated someone taking the time to share these concepts with me.
Yeah, because it's such an integral part of what it means to be an American in everyday American life. And I teach high school age homeschoolers. I've got 112 students every week right now. I have three Constitution courses and two Christian ethics courses. And they think like Americans. They process like Americans. They process in ways and look at politics in ways that they're not even aware of where that came from. But yet it's there. And they weren't specifically taught it. It was just kind of part of growing up in America and this American experiment that started almost 400 years ago. We're talking to Jerry Pereira, 400th.org. There's a great, great resource. There's a small donation, like $10, but it's an incredible resource just in time for Thanksgiving. It's called A Time for Thankfulness, downloadable PDF at 400th.org. We'll be right back. Thanksgiving 2 days early, but that's something that we should be celebrating year-round. We should have an attitude and a posture of thankfulness, and oftentimes we don't. We just, it rolls around once a year. But even then, our understanding of Thanksgiving, I think, unfortunately, for most Americans, is pretty thin. It's a time to get together with our families. It's time to have some great food and overeat, and there's plenty of football and a couple days off and all that good stuff. And oftentimes, and we do this at the Noble House, we take the time during our Thanksgiving meal to go around the table and force everybody to come up with one specific thing they're really thankful to the Lord for. And we've talked about our rich heritage in the past and haven't spent a ton of time on it. But this year, I'm armed with a little more information than I normally have in my head. And this is a resource from our friends at 400th.org. That's the website, 400th.org. And when you slide down the homepage at 400th.org, you just come down a little bit, and you'll see this, what to read at your Thanksgiving table. So minimum donation of $10. This is an incredible downloadable PDF. It's called A Time for Thankfulness, a family compendium on the importance of Thanksgiving Day, which really takes you back 400 years. Who were these pilgrims? Who were these folks that came over here? Why were they here? What was their purpose? What was their goal? And then what does that matter for us today? So it's got just recommended reading at the dinner table of Plymouth Plantation, the Mayflower Compact, Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation, which I read yesterday, which was from 1789, singing the Old 100th, which is Psalm 100, the first Thanksgiving of the Pilgrims, just incredible. There's great Thanksgiving quotes and many writings from the earliest days of our nation's history, all the way back in the 1600s. Just a beautiful, really beautifully well-done piece And you just download the PDF, minimum donation of $10, no big deal. It's an incredible resource. I'm really excited. I'm going to have it printed out in color tomorrow, and I'll be using it at the Noble House this Thursday. 400th.org. And what's up with that website name? Well, that's because next year is the quadricentennial. 1620, when they landed at Plymouth Rock, next year is 2020. And today, to help us to understand the rich heritage that's a part of all of our lives, whether you moved here, weren't born here, like Jerry Pereira, who's from Sri Lanka and moved here when he was 7 to Southern California. He's with the Leiden Preservation Group and 400th.org, which is a website you need to get to right away. And prepare yourself not only for what we're doing this week, but for what's coming next year. It's going to be super exciting as all these different events and things going on. So, Jerry, again, thank you so much for being here, and thanks for your patience during the commercial breaks. But how did you guys then end up fully investing yourselves in our actual heritage going all the way back to the 1600s with the Pilgrims? Because obviously you guys made a big decision to pursue this and with passion and with allegiance to the truth and our history. And then I want you to tell everybody about plot number one, which is amazing.
Sure. You know, we lived about 20 miles north of Plymouth, and about 8 years ago, this plot number one property was actually owned by a homeschool family that they were using it to understand more of course, the Pilgrim legacy. And we told them, you know, if you're ever going to move or sell the property, we would be interested. So we started this eight-year-long campaign to sort of lease it and then eventually move down here and get more active in presenting this wonderful story.
And so why is this such an important topic? Because oftentimes, you know, I think we trivialize, we minimize the Pilgrims and what was going on here in 1620. Why is this such an important part of our lives as Americans? Why should we study it? Why should we understand this more deeply than perhaps most people have ever been taught?
You know, Steve, as I mentioned, I really came to a deeper understanding as I started to get involved with the concept of family, just living family life. And you have to understand, who were these Pilgrims? These were basically families, and families didn't usually come across the Atlantic in the 1600s. It was explorers and those who were getting involved in the trade. So here you have families, and whether you understand the Mayflower Pilgrims or not, why is tomorrow the largest travel day in America? There, people are reconnecting with families. It's almost like this enduring legacy that's left behind. It's a footprint of who the Pilgrims were that just were moving into the 400. So they were families. They're coming here because they had freedom in Holland. You know, they were persecuted. They were persecuted in England for their faith. They wanted to separate themselves. They were separatists. So they fled to Holland. But what was happening in Holland? Holland, they were experiencing a deep secularization of their children, of the next generation. So they had to make a decision. You know, they're persecuted, they're becoming increasingly secularized, and they're making a decision to separate themselves and to come into a wilderness. And of course, as you know, they were heading to the northern shores of Virginia. They're blown off course. They end up in Plymouth. They have no legal standing to come in here or come and occupy this land. So what do? They frame an agreement. They frame a compact. They virtually make a declaration of independence, an early declaration, the seed of it, and rely on the name of God and to govern themselves under his law. So that's what's remarkable. And that's why we think this is special. Plot one refers to the site of the first shelter, the site just for the first home. The women and children stayed on board. I'm actually looking outside of the office here, and I can see the water. And, it, you know, women and children, they've already made this transatlantic voyage, and now they've got to stay on board another month or so till the shelters get built. So plot one, I think, was very significant. It was the site of the first shelter. Several other very key things happened here, and we're humbled to be a part of it, and we want to share it. We want to use this site as a tool over the next 2 years to celebrate not only the 400th landing, but realistically, in 1621, we're going to be celebrating the 400 years of Thanksgiving in America. And what does that look like? And how do we give thanks to God for that?
Really amazing. And I would imagine that you guys are still, every once in a while, it's got to be very surreal to be occupying a piece of land and to be in a home, which underneath that the earth that you're on was such a, it's just ground zero, really, for the pilgrims all the way back to 1620, 400 years ago. It's just mind-boggling to think about that. And aren't there remains of the pilgrims in a graveyard somewhere around there in Plymouth?
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I was just up there today walking. It's across the street from where we are at the 300 celebration. The Mayflower descendants had gathered the remains and the bones of the pilgrims that were up on top of the portico. When Daniel Webster spoke, there was a little portico over Plymouth Rock, and their bones were up there. And the Mayflower Descendants Society got together and said, you know, for the 300 celebration, let's get a sarcophagus and put it right up here on the hill, which overlooks the harbor. And as I walked through there today, I just realized, you know, they were being persecuted in England. They sailed across, they made this treacherous voyage. They got here, they faced famine, they faced hardship, and a great loss that first winter, and yet they persevered.
Yep.
And I was reflecting, as the ship sailed back the next spring, they were all given an invitation.
Yeah, well, hold that thought, Jerry. We're up against the break. Hold that thought right there. We're up against the break. We're going to pick it up right there when we come back. We're talking to Jerry Pereira, 400.org, the 400th anniversary, the quadricentennial of the landing next year, and then the first Thanksgiving the year after that. We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble Thanksgiving week. Just been spending some time focusing on that yesterday. Started really all the way back in 1620 with the Mayflower Compact with William Bradford, which they wrote and signed while they were anchored off the coast there at Plymouth. Plymouth Rock, of course, we all know that. And then we looked at the City Upon a Hill, which is a portion of the sermon given by John Winthrop, which is all the way back in 1630. We were looking at some other early documents, and then we ended up in 1789, October of 1789, with the very first Thanksgiving proclamation, which was commissioned by Congress and sent to George Washington. And when you see the language that Congress was using back then, our Christian heritage is deep and significant and profound. And we've lost most of that. We've lost it in the public school system and even in private schools. It's doing well in the homeschool environment, which is where we've as a family have been for 16 years, homeschoolers. But it's been lost largely to our society, and in a time when we're so divided. When you sit and go, what do we have? What does the left have in common with the right? What do lost people have in common with saved people? Our common heritage as Americans, going all the way back, it'll be 400 years for the 400th anniversary, quadricentennial of the landing at Plymouth Rock. That's next year in 2020, 1620 to 2020. And then the very first Thanksgiving, it'll be the quadricentennial 1621 to 2021. So over the next 2 years, there'll be incredible things happening and just thankful to God for what's going on up in Plymouth. And a lot of that, God has been using Jerry Pereira and his wife and their team up there. 400.org is the website, 400.org. And just can't encourage you strongly enough to go just on the homepage, just slide down a little bit, and you're going to see a section on Thanksgiving. They have an incredible PDF that they put together, just a great resource for Thanksgiving for your family and for you personally to study and to really kind of go back and see what God did 400 years ago that we're still pulling the fruit off of that tree. It's really amazing. It's called The Time for Thankfulness. Just a minimum donation of $10 or more to help with that effort at 400th.org. 24 pages, PDF, full color. It's just beautiful with all kinds of great resources that will take your Thanksgiving to a whole new level. It's great when we're with family. It's great that we have these wonderful meals and this time together and football and all that fun stuff. But the true meaning of Thanksgiving is a whole lot deeper than that, but started with families that came here in 1620. And that's why we're so thrilled to have Jerry Pereira here with us today. And as soon as I heard Jerry on with Glenn Beck was actually out there. It's about 10 days ago, I think. And I was just riveted to that conversation and the thought of that and plot number one and the meaning there. And Jerry, I was just in Israel about 3 weeks ago. And it was my first trip there. And to see this origin story of New Testament Christianity, much of the Old Testament. And for us as Americans, the origin story goes back to, well, exactly where you are there at plot number one in Plymouth. So I wanted to ask you, because I definitely want to spend some time talking about everything that you guys are working on coming up over the next 2 years. But help us understand the difference between Jamestown, which is 1607, which is a train wreck, and then Plymouth in 1620, which is obviously what gave birth to the life that we are enjoying today in America. What was the difference?
Well, simply, Steve, I would say Jamestown was settled. It was basically an extension of the English status quo. These are the second sons of nobility that were taking wealth back to the crown. It was very class conscious. There was a series of struggles and massacres there that it was hard to maintain peace. And without peace, it's very difficult to establish a longstanding colony or a settlement. So, whereas Plymouth, you've got families. You've got families that are coming not as explorers, not as people on the trade routes, perhaps coming to take things back. They were actually coming, and this is what I take away as the most of why they came. They understood that they were protecting their conscience. Their conscience was their liberty. This conscience was granted by their creator. This conscience was given to them as their God-given right. That was the most important property of the day when they were facing tyranny, persecution, and hardship. So this conscience would give them, I believe, the perseverance to endure what they endured as family. And that is really just my take on just the simple difference between Jamestown and Plymouth.
Yeah, and even when you look just at the Mayflower Compact, this is just one section. It's not a very long document, obviously. Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, which is, okay, well, what are we doing here? And then they go on to say, Bradford goes on to write this, mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic. And instead they go, hold on a second, that sounds like they've got a mission mindset here, almost like a church plant. And when you go forward just 9 years, Jerry, and you look at the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, this is in 1639. This is just 9 years later. Things like this: for as much as it hath pleased Almighty God by the wise disposition of his divine providence, so to order and dispose of things, that we are in the inhabitants and residents of Windsor, Hartford, and Wethersfield, talking about the word of God, according to God, and do for ourselves and our successors, which is their posterity, which is people like us, 400 years later. Listen to this: to maintain and preserve the liberty and purity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, which we now profess. I mean, these were, you said it earlier, religious separatists who risk their lives for their religious liberty and their conscience so that they could worship God and advance the gospel.
And that's so well said. And here's what I'm understanding. This, the concept of, pilgrims were people of the book, and they brought the book. And we're talking about the Geneva Bible, which they were steeped in the scriptures. They had a superb understanding of covenant, of understanding self-government under God's law. But here's really where the practicum of it comes. You have two civilizations coming together. You have European families and from European descent, and you have the native population that are already here. I think, as Bradford says, to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, what this is, in a nutshell, how I understand it, I look at it as a creator-redeemer distinction in principle. The natives might have had an understanding of a creator. They didn't perhaps have an understanding of who Jesus Christ was as Redeemer. And this is the message that, not only who were the pilgrims, why they came, but what happened when they got here. You're going to find that word, the word of God, was going to be planted in the natives that would receive it. And this is what's wonderful about the pilgrim story. And why is it that one of the first Bibles printed in America is in the Algonquin tongue, is in the native tongue?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to have a style of worship and indoctrinate the natives into a European church. You want to get the word of God into their society and let that transform them.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's just remarkable to see God's hand of providence over all of that. And even the story of Squanto, it's like, hold on, you know, you hear that the first time and you start to think, come on, really? That sounds like somebody made that up. No, he was captured by slave traders. He's taken over the Atlantic. He learns English. Then he comes back and he's able to help with the pilgrims. So tell us, Jerry, just a little bit about that very first Thanksgiving. And then in the last segment of the show, I want to talk about everything you guys are planning that's going to be over the next 2 years. We're talking to Jerry Pereira. 400.org is the website where you can see all these things going on. The quadricentennial, the 400th anniversary of the landing at Plymouth Rock, which is next year. And then the 400th anniversary of the first Thanksgiving, which will be in 2021. And that's why we're talking to Jerry Pereira today. But tell us about the circumstances around the very first Thanksgiving.
Sure. I think what it really boils down to, and you were making a comparison between Jamestown and Plymouth, explorers and family. Well, you know, the natives understood that these were a different band. These were women and children. So they knew that this, while explorers and others who were hostile in some ways against native peoples came earlier, this was a different group. And the key thing that I understand about Plymouth is that there was a peace treaty made here, a covenant of peace, which is the longest lasting peace treaty in American history. And I believe if you look at the timeline, it's providential, it's remarkable, it's a miracle, it's the hand of God that they land in December, and after enduring that horrific first winter, they're signing a peace agreement with the sachem, Massasoit, the sachem of the Wampanoags, by April, early April, right. Wow. Here at Plot 1. That's what history records in the Commonwealth. Has a plaque on the outside of this house that talks about that peace engagement happened here. So that's what's exciting about being here on the ground and using it to tell the story.
Yeah, what an incredible opportunity God has given you all. And it's the Light and Preservation Group, which is one part of it, but 400.org, which is the website that I want everybody to get to as soon as possible. I knew that when Beck had you on, did your website crash? Because I'm sure that you got all kinds of traffic that you weren't used to getting.
Well, you know, we've been trying to develop a tool where we can inform people in the nation and the world of this story, and that 400.org is going to be that tool over the next year or two.
Yeah, super excited to find out more about that. We're coming up on a break, Jerry. We're talking to Jerry Pereira, 400.org, and I want you to get there as soon as possible, just even right now on the commercial break, because you want to get a hold of a Time for Thankfulness, which is this incredible PDF, just for a minimum donation of $10 or more, and it's downloadable, so you don't have to wait to get it mailed to you. It's going to be in your computer when you're done with that. I got it the other day. It's fabulous. We're going to be using it in my house. I would strongly encourage you to use it at yours. Go to 400.org. Check that out. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Happy early Thanksgiving. Tomorrow will be our annual Thanksgiving Eve show, where I just open up the phone lines. Hopefully I won't have to prod you too much to get going, but just open up the phone lines for people to call in and really kind of give a shout out to the Lord, something that you're thankful for, deeply thankful for, that God has done in your life in the last year since last Thanksgiving. And the phone lines are always jammed, and it can't be, don't give me a Sunday school answer. You can't, you know, family. Okay, why? You got to be more specific. I'm thankful for my health. Okay, why? Something specific. And oftentimes when you do prayer requests, man, we're all Johnny on the spot. But when it's time to offer praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, hey, what's God doing in your life lately? Oftentimes you're met with silence, which is sad. We need to be people of thanksgiving, not just in November every year, but all year round. That should be a normal posture for us as followers of Jesus Christ, even if you just revisit the fact that you're saved. The devotional I wrote today, I think it was Psalm 122, about entering into the Lord's house and struggling with. I kind of talked about how we can sometimes be, we go to church not with an appetite, but with an attitude. And I struggle with that too. But the very fact that you actually belong there, that you belong in the house of God, that you belong with the fellowship of the saints, that you belong there to worship and to learn because you're a Christian. I mean, wow. Walk into church going, hey, I actually belong here. That's a miracle. So let's all work on our thankfulness this week. And that's why we're talking to Jerry Pereira, 400th. 400th.org is the website, 400th.org, and I really can't encourage you strongly enough to grab the PDF there, A Time for Thankfulness. It's just a minimum of a donation of $10, but I think once you hear everything that God is doing through these fine folks out there in Plymouth, there in Massachusetts, and literally at Plot 1, one of the earliest locations of American life, 1620. It's just amazing in the history there. It's just, it kind of blows my mind, Jerry, that you're actually sitting in Plot 1, the house there right now, aren't you?
I am, and it's great that, you know, I can share Plot 1 with you. So, it's one thing to sit here, but if you can't share it with the rest of the nation about this enduring legacy left behind, it's meaningful. Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome, and I was just saying to the Facebook Live audience during the commercial break, I'm definitely going to be planning at least one trip up there, so I'll let you know and coordinate with that with you. I certainly do not have Glenn Beck's platform, but I certainly share his love of our true history in America, and so I'm excited to be able to come up there next year.
That's great. We'll be pleased to have you.
Yeah, it'll be great. And we'll do some shows up there as well. So tell us everything, because this is just starting to get built out. 400th.org is the website I want you all to visit. So tell us everything that you've got planned over these next 2 years, because next year, as we've mentioned, 400th anniversary of the landing at Plymouth Rock, but in 2021, it'll be the 400th anniversary of Thanksgiving itself, the first Thanksgiving.
That's correct. You know, there are some celebrations that we'll be posting on our website that will happen next year, especially in the summer, but really, I want you and your listeners to be in tune with 400.org, because I'm looking to really have a large gathering in the fall of 2020 to celebrate what the Pilgrims had, the Mayflower Compact. They made a covenant before God, and those are promises that God keeps to his people 400 years later. It might look very it might look like a devastation out there as we look around and stuff. In culture and society, but God has made a promise to America, to those who have left, to those who are living in the legacy. And I believe that, you know, it's about his word, it's about God, it's about in the name of God, amen. And that's what we want to remember. We want to remember that covenant that was established. We want to remember the sacrifices and the prayers that were offered. So that's what we're trying to plan something. We're going to post it on the website. And look for it. So I'm glad that I can share that.
Yeah, and I know there's. I was just going to say, I know there's various organizations out there, but the thing that I really appreciate about you and your team at 400th.org is that really the emphasis is where it should be, which is on God's providence and God's hand and God's guidance that enabled all this to happen in the first place, and the fact that it was solid, really committed believers that risked their lives to come over here for religious liberty and for the advancement of the gospel, that we are still pulling fruit off of that tree. But that's where you got to give credit where credit is due. And yes, they were brave, and yes, they worked hard, and they were hardy, and all of the other stuff. But without God, that story goes nowhere.
That's correct. And if we can remember that, if we can remember God's faithfulness in 2020, that gives us the opportunity to really have a grand, thankful celebration in 2021. The timeline's remarkable. They land in December. A devastating winter. They miraculously enter into peace with the natives. And then it's just the building of a settlement and security. And that next fall, within a year, there's a harvest celebration that set the stage for what we experience today.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you take the time to study it and learn, and because it becomes much more weighty. It's a weighty story anyway, but once you see just how God's hand was involved in all of this, it becomes much more meaningful, especially from a Christian perspective, so that we can give credit where credit is due. So give us some input, Jerry, on how we can kind of incorporate this, even this, we're only 2 days away from Thanksgiving. And one way of doing that is through your great PDF. That's a great resource, A Time for Thankfulness, which is available at the homepage, 400th.org. But help us to enrich Thanksgiving this week. Just what can we do? What would help? And what's most meaningful to you about Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, obviously we're here with a preservation play of Lot 1, but what really are we preserving? It's a wonderful site, but we're really preserving the message. And when we carry that message on to and share it with our next generation, especially, and the generations yet to come. In this time, I believe the Lord honors that. I believe He's looking for families to understand their heritage and to declare it and to share. And that's what's going to be special and increasingly special at this time, you know, at this time of Thanksgiving. And I believe the Lord has given America a feast to remember that, just as the feast in the Old Testament the children of Israel experienced. I believe Americans have a very special feast, and we'll find several narratives on tearing this holiday apart. But we know when there's truth that abounds, that's biblical Christian truth, that is what is the preservation part of this story. That God has this truth.
Yeah, and what would you pull, Jerry, and we'll be done just a couple minutes here, and I really appreciate you being with us for the full show today, but what would you pull out of the Pilgrim's experience and what happened back then in 1620, 1621, into modern-day life? It's 2019. We live in a very tumultuous time as followers of Jesus Christ in a country that's increasingly becoming more secular. What can we pull from the Pilgrim's life and apply to our lives today from your study and from your understanding?
Well, I would simply say that God is with us. And I'm looking at, I remember what Bradford said in 1650, 30 years later. He quote, direct quote, he says about 100 souls came over this first ship and began this work which God of his goodness has blessed, you know, and let his holy name have all the praise. Mm-hmm. And that's what we must do at this time. We're certainly the church in America, as a church worldwide, is facing persecution, secularization. You know, can we stop and give thanks? Can we reflect on what God has done? And after even Bradford is writing this 30 years later, after experiencing all that he did. After experiencing all the hardships, he calls it a blessing. God has blessed us. So it's a different perspective, and it's one of gratitude. And, you know, when we enter his gates and his courts with thanksgiving and praise, we should never leave the thing.
Yeah, what a great point. Jerry Pereira, so great having you on today. I hope you and your family have a very wonderful Thanksgiving celebration. And thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your dedication to getting this story out, this truth, and God's providence and what he did for all of us, really, starting 400 years ago on this land we now call the United States of America. It's great having you on, Jerry, and look forward to having you on again.
Great to be with you, Steve. Happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. God bless you. We'll talk to you again soon. That was Jerry Pereira. 400.org is the website, 400.org. And again, you just slide down the homepage a little bit and you'll see the resource that's available there, A Time for Thankfulness. It's a PDF, minimum donation of $10 to help out that organization and their efforts, as they're going to be doing all kinds of things over the next year and year and a half, as next year in the fall will be the 400th anniversary, the quadricentennial. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The quadricentennial of the landing at Plymouth Rock. And then in the fall of 2021, that will be the quadricentennial, 400th anniversary of the first Thanksgiving feast. And looking back on all of that, as Jerry was talking about that, when they were facing tough times and they had challenges, they had ups and downs, they risked their lives for their convictions. They risked their lives for the gospel. They risked their lives so that they could worship the Lord freely and risked their families' lives. They all came over, the original pilgrims, who were religious separatists and Puritans, and they were deeply committed. And so today, as we face an increasingly secularized America, the same challenge goes forth. What are we willing to risk? What are we willing to do to preserve the truth, to pass on to our posterity, our children and their children, the truth of God's word and what he's done for thousands of years? But specifically in our context in America, and specifically, and more recently, in your life and in mine. That's all falls on us now for our posterity. That comes to us. We cannot drop that ball. We cannot afford to. The nation cannot afford for us to. So this is just a great week to refocus on all of that. We'll be back tomorrow. The phones will be open for the whole hour. Hope you'll be a part of that and call in and share what God has done in your life that you're particularly thankful for in the last year. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.